You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. Dan Collins,
Chris Gilpin,
Martin Bruda.
That's the gang.
We're all here. Not quite.
Well, Sam Tweedle's missing.
Yes.
He's off watching a show. I have to start off by apologizing because I've got a flu thing going on since the 26th of December, and it's triggered my asthma like crazy. So if you hear somebody sounds like a dying guy with emphysema, that's me.
Yep. Lots of people. Up lungs.
And then you hear the sound of all of us moving our chairs away from
that's
Marty.
That's why I sat in the corner. I'm like way over here, so if all of a sudden... that's me.
Normally you edit that stuff out, but now you'll have to edit it in.
There you go. Right. I'll put some random in.
Yeah. All right, so what's happening in the world of comics?
Oh my goodness. Has this been a news day or what?
Oh, I've been working all day. What'd I miss?
Yeah, which news specifically?
Well, I was pretty busy today, but the phone was just buzzing and vibrating left, right, and center. So Dan Slott, off of Spider-Man, he's officially gone. He's leaving Spider-Man. He's moving to Iron Man.
Well, that's going to be a pretty stretch for him.
That's what I said.
A rich guy with a.
Oh my
guy
gosh.
In his armor.
I made like a whole checklist. It was like, you know, rich guy, corporate intrigue, African American sidekick that gets dressed up in the uniform once in a while to throw off the press so that they keep the secret identity. And then of course, even Tony Stark lost his fortune there a few times when Stain Industries took over and all this stuff. Same thing's happening to Peter Parker. So I'm like, yeah, that's going to be a stretch.
Yeah. So
this is great for Dan Slott though, because all he's done is change Peter Parker to Tony Stark in his scripts and sent the last 5 years of Spider-Man scripts to to his editor and said, run with it. So
find,
he's getting paid for nothing.
Find and replace in Word.
Is Stark back then? I haven't...
They haven't gone into those details yet. I'm assuming Brian Michael Bendis is going to do something to finish off his run. Whether he, like, I'm not following Iron Man at all, so I don't know. Is it still the gal who's in the suit, Riri Williams, I think her name was?
Is any of us following Iron Man? I'm not.
I dropped her, unfortunately.
Iron Man's a title that I follow on a sporadic basis, like, ever since, like, the 80s, like, David Michelinie and all that sort of stuff when they started doing Iron Man. And I'd get it for a bit, and then there'd be something that make me drop it or something, and then I'll try it again. And Fantastic Four is the same way. Every time Fantastic Four restarts, I usually go for it for about 6 months and see how it goes. And so far, none of them has stuck really, really well. But the Leonard Kirk and, what was his name, Robinson? James Robinson?
Yeah.
That one was a pretty good series.
Yeah. Actually, that reminds me, just so I can interrupt.
Go.
I read Marvel Team Up number 1.
Marvel 2-in-1?
Marvel 2-in-1, thank
you.
Why is that book not called Fantastic Four?
Because at the time, first off, it's not the Fantastic Four, it's the Fantastic Two.
But come on. That felt like a fantastic...
It is.
I liked it.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts. This is a prelude to bringing back the Fantastic Four. This is a story. Okay, Ben and Johnny get together, and they do their thing, and they're going to find out where exactly everybody is, and they're going to, by the end of that series, for sure, it's going to be bringing in the whole Fantastic Four team back together again. Like, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
You just, like you said, you read the first issue. It's like, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, it was a pretty fun first issue. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
So I'm going for that series, that's for sure. Also in the news today, Superman gets his shorts back.
Apparently.
And thousands of 50-year-old men no longer need to wail at the wall over the fact that Superman lost his undie bums.
His red underwear.
His red undie bums. So apparently Jim Lee has drawn the image of Superman for Action Comics number 1000 that has him with his shorts back on and his belt and stuff like this.
I'm just looking at this article here about Brian Michael Bendis's draft of Action Comic One. Isn't he writing?
He's writing a story.
A story, yeah.
Okay, so I can just rip that part out then.
Yeah. And of course, there's the whole big, huge fiasco over the fact that the hardcover was originally $30 and then jacked up to $50 and then went back down to $30. And people were spazzing out thinking, oh my gosh, this commemorative hardcover is the actual issue. No, there's actually going to be a $10 regular comic book issue and stuff. And right in the hype of all that, like I had pre-ordered it on Amazon.
Oh, sorry. Damn, stop scrolling. Superman with Michael Bendis' head on it. Come on. Whatever the heck his name is.
I looked at Amazon, right? And because I pre-ordered it, when it went up to like $50 US, so that was like whatever, 67, it said, you've locked your price in at $32.99 Canadian. I'm like, yeah! Right. So I thought
that's why it's worth pre-ordering stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So Superman gets his pants back. Dan Slott's off. Bendis is coming to DC.
It's crazy.
And Kitty Pride and
Colossus.
Colossus. Yeah. What's Peter's last name? Rasputin?
Rasputin. Piotr Rasputin.
They're getting married, and I couldn't be even more blasé if I tried. Does anybody really get excited about a wedding issue in a comic?
Not. I don't think I'm overly excited about a wedding issue. I'm more excited for the characters because I've just known them for so friggin' long.
Yeah, well, why didn't it happen earlier? Why did it have to happen now?
Well, what's the time frame in comics? Like, they're only, like, 2 years older than when they first met,
exactly.
Right?
So. Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, you know what it means. It means a double-sized issue, and she's going to be in a wedding dress. And same thing happened when Green Arrow and Black Canary got married.
Magneto will show up.
You know,
yeah, I was going to say, the only one I've read was Jean Grey and Cyclops and Magneto showed up, I think, to that one.
The Spider-Man one, the Spider-Man wedding was a big thing. I remember there was two different covers, and if I'm not mistaken, John Romita Jr. was signing them and stuff here, somewhere near Peterborough, Toronto, wherever. Huh? And I remember I got one signed, and you know, whatever it was a big event, and I'm just like, man, yeah, it is what it is, but I just can't get excited about it.
Yeah, so. You weren't here last week, but I asked the guys what they thought of the Batman Annual. Did you read that?
Which one was the Batman Annual? Oh, Annual 2.
Yeah.
I actually have an extra copy of that, just in case. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, anybody wants one.
I'll take it.
There you go. What happened in it?
Where the first part was the meeting of Batman and Catwoman, and then the second part was the end of their marriage, so to speak, because it was the future. He was dying. He didn't read it.
I read it, but I don't remember it.
Oh.
That must have been pre-flu.
Maybe. I liked it. I thought it was a pretty cool format.
All the Batman books have been great.
Yeah.
Like, this whole thing about going to that strange city in the desert to talk to, Talia al Ghul. I thought that he was, like, going to try to get a divorce from her so he could marry Catwoman. I didn't realize that there was the girl that was Catwoman was accused of murdering was still alive in this citadel. And that was a cool story with the League of Assassins and swords and the big huge guy. Yeah, thou shalt not pass. And Batman's like, oh yeah.
Here we go. Watch
me, buddy.
That's right.
And then there was the Superman, Batman, Lois Lane and Selina Kyle.
Double date,
like I don't want to call it romance double date because again I'm down on the whole wedding romance thing that went out in the 50s, but it was more like a buddy cop, you know, partner in crime type comic. It was fun, it was good.
Yeah,
the last issue of Batman was pretty fantastic. That was again another weird one. I don't know if you've read it or not
yet, but.
But there's a little bit of a twist there, and old Bats and Wonder Woman, and it's like,
I saw an article, yeah.
What's going on?
A surprising woman comes between Selina and Bruce.
But they got this little thing in that story. I won't ruin it for you too much, but...
Is anybody reading Phoenix Resurrection?
No.
I think Sam is, but...
I read the first issue.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, it's going to happen. I don't really want to buy this weekly, $3.99 every week.
So do we know how she was resurrected?
No.
I'm just waiting for I just want to know that.
No. 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 When it comes to Marvel, no.
No.
What am I reading at Marvel right now? Marvel 2-in-1 and X-Men Gold, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I won't be reading X-Men Gold for long because they're canceling it soon. There's already been a big thing. There was a hint that sometime this year, all the X-Men books are going to be ending, and they're going to be relaunched now.
Again?
What does that mean? Instead of X-Men Gold, X-Men Red, X-Men Blue, we're going to have Uncanny X-Men, X-Men, X-Factor, or whatever.
I hope there's legacy numbering.
Yeah, you know, is there going to be...
Sarcasm.
Well, there probably is.
Like, they're already talking about the fact that after this Avengers weekly series, there's going to be a brand new Avengers book to tie in with the Avengers movie.
Have you read the Avengers? I meant to pick that up just to support Jim Zub, right? He's writing that with some Jim other guys.
I read the first issue in print, and I read the second one in a review.
Yeah.
In a review PDF. And it seems pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, my big problem is I'm not as familiar with the Avengers because I haven't been reading them for the past 10 years. So, well, I don't know. When did New Avengers end? That's kind of when I stopped reading Avengers.
New Avengers, I'd say, probably ended like 10 years ago, around then.
So I haven't, like, something happened with one character and I was just like, who's that? Like, there's this big thing about this. You remember Sentry kind of got written into a continuity?
Yeah.
Well, there's this character called Voyager.
Star Trek Voyager.
My little French Canadianness.
Yeah,
it's Portage, not Portage in Maine, you Winnipeggers. Anyways, Voyager's there, and I'm like, oh, who's this chick? I don't know who this person is. So I had to ask somebody, and they're like, I don't know. I'm like, well, how can you not know? You've been reading Avengers, and then
it's
dawned on me.
She's there, and everyone knows her, and she's always been there.
Yeah.
And,
I don't not know her because I'm missing something. Nobody knows who she is.
Is Bendis writing that?
No. Jim Zub is... there's a... excuse me. There's an ensemble of writers, but they're kind of, they've got a sort of a blueprint of how it's going to go, but because it's a weekly book, one writer writing that many pages a month, they'd go crazy, so...
Yeah.
So, but art's good, it looked good. It's just hard for me to get excited for the Avengers.
Is it 10 parts? Is that what I'm remembering? It's like 10 issues.
Yeah, I think they said 2 months in a bit.
Yeah.
So basically every Avenger title got on hiatus.
For this to happen.
So, and I don't know, like, again, I don't know. I just don't. Is it Avengers, Uncanny Avengers? Is that still a thing? Occupy Avengers, US Avengers, is that all
no idea.
I have no idea.
One of the reasons I gave up on Marvel.
Like, obviously during this initiative, they're all on hiatus, right?
So yeah.
It's just this Avengers series, but...
Now, on the topic of Marvel and Avengers and whatever, like, have you guys read, and I'm going to assume the answer is probably no, have you guys read many or any of the legacy titles?
I've read quite a few. Like, I'm buying Cable. Sorry, I forgot to mention Cable last time. Ed Bryson's writing it, but only for 5 issues.
Yeah.
Right? So what's happening in Cable is, because he's a time-traveling type character, this will be a 5-issue arc happening 7 years ago or 12 years ago, whatever. The next arc is, a certain arc at a different time period in the past, because... Nathan can time travel, right?
Yeah.
So it's an excellent way for them to kind of frame the series as little mini series in a sequence, right? Because he can bop all over the place. So they could tell all sorts of arbitrary X-Factor, X-Force stories. So
now, with the titles that you're reading, do you find that it was an okay jumping on point?
With Cable, yes, for sure, because like I said, that framing.
Yeah.
I'm reading Mighty Thor, and it was not a jumping on point. Although it was a lot of flashbacks and stories. So
they were trying to accommodate people who were jumping on, but it
they
was
were
a
trying
lot.
To. But yeah, because like, I'm so far behind. That's actually what I read tonight, was 5 issues behind. So 2 issues before the renumbering. I didn't make it to the last one, unfortunately, but 700? 700, mm-hmm. right?
Something like that.
Really thick, and it's just like every Thor, every imaginable, and flashbacks, and this is what's happening. And
well, so they're in the middle of a big, heavy storyline with yeah. Jane Foster, so obviously they're not going to, fortunately, unlike what they did with the Inhuman comic, they're not going to ditch that storyline just for this initiative.
Yeah. That's why I'm still reading. You know, although the title of the arc is Death of the Mighty Thor, so
well, we knew she was going to pass away, right?
Yeah.
So obviously, eventually. But, you know, like they released the December sales numbers and Spider-Man Renew Your Vows or whatever, one of those type comics was like number 3 or number 4 in November or number 5 and it dropped to like number 57. You know, Captain America with the new art team and everything and the big initiative. Lots of people tuned in for the first episode, comic, but just dropped off like crazy for the second. So I was looking at those numbers, and usually I bore the snot out of everybody by actually bringing the numbers. So I decided not to this time. But if you actually look at it, that, you know, people are like, oh, people tuned in for the first issue and got the first issue to check it out. I don't think so. I think retailers bought a metric poop ton of those first issues to qualify for all the variants and stuff. I really get the feeling, like, you go to some comic shops and stuff, there's spinner racks and spinner racks, shelves and shelves of these lenticular cover variants and other variants and regular issues. Like CBA still has copies of Marvel Legacy number 1 for $3. Yeah. A stack of it.
Yeah.
So I really think that those numbers weren't people trying out the initiative, but more getting conned into doing the whole let's buy 500 copies of this comic to qualify for this 1 in 500 variant.
Another reason why the numbers, I mean, you're a numbers guy, but to me, the numbers don't mean anything.
Yeah.
They don't mean squat.
Like, I always, whenever I get those lists, like I said, you pull all the number ones out, you pull all the gimmicks, all the mini series and everything, and see what the actual health is of a regular comic a quarter of the way through its run or three quarters of the way through its storyline. Like, what, who's actually reading this every month? Because every time there's an event, you get this artificial sales boost.
Yeah.
Well, there was something on one of the Facebook sites that we're on, like, hey, Diamond just announced a second printing for this book. Did anyone get the first one? And it was like, why is it going second print? I don't know, but you should go buy it.
Well, that was the one where the really minor new villain got introduced, and everyone's like speculating on it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you and I know for sure there's 10 copies at GNU.
Oh, yeah. Like, we could drive for 45 minutes in any direction and find hundreds of copies. You know,
I messed up with metal. I got metal from one shop, number one, and I got it without the chromium cover. I got the regular cover. And then I guess I pre-ordered metal from a different shop by accident, and they're getting me the chromium covers.
Yeah.
So I got number one regular, the rest are chromium. I'm like, oh, man, I should go get, you know, a chromium cover for number one and swap this out. Nobody's got any. So I turned to eBay, $20 Canadian by the time I'm done after shipping and all this stuff. And we popped into GNU the other day, and they have, no word of a lie, 30, 32 copies on the shelf, chromium at cover, and I was just kicking myself going, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how that store operates. I don't get it. They must be doing the variant thing. They must have some collectors that are out there that are paying big bucks for variants because they just always seem to have copies.
But, I mean, this is the thing, right? This is what kills the smaller stores. Spending all that money on, if they can make it back, selling the variants, I guess.
That's the only thing I can think of. That's it. Like, if I have to buy 50 copies of this comic, and this comic costs me 50 cents wholesale U.S., and I can sell the variant for $200, that paid for all those comics. So I can throw them out. I can use them as kitty litter. I can sell them for $1 each. It's like when you buy a collection, right? You sell all the keys for the big bucks, and then all the rest of the stuff is just gravy. So you don't care if you sell it for $2 an issue or 25 cents an issue. You've already made your money. That's the only way I can imagine this working.
But you have to have somebody waiting at the door to buy that pair.
Yep.
Because if you don't, you got a stack of regular covers and a $200 variant on the shelf.
And that's the thing, right? Like, if you don't have it Wednesday, if the guy walks in the shop Wednesday and says, do you have it? And you say no, he's gone. He's out the door. He's gone to the next store.
Yeah.
And he'll find it eventually at one of those stores. Or he doesn't, then he comes back and says, can you pre-order it? Can you order whatever? But typically, if you're not there release day,
the hardcore guy has moved on and he's got someplace else. Same thing happens with video game releases. When we used to have a computer store, Peterborough Computers, new game would come out. If you didn't have it the day that it came out, the guy was out the door, went to the next store so that he could play it that night.
Yeah.
Midnight release parties and stuff. It's a perfect example. You know, don't tell me you didn't get it in stock or you had a rough night and you didn't have it unpacked and you're going to have it unpacked at 3:45 on Wednesday instead of first thing Wednesday morning when people are on service calls downstairs, downtown. You know, because people just move on.
Oh, man.
People just move on.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Eventually that store goes out of business.
And then
so stop buying comics just because Diamond says they're sold out and going to the second printing.
Go to the actual comic book store and look for them first.
Well, yeah, look around. Like, you know, how many times has that happened where Ninja Turtles Batman comic, everybody was sold out. Everybody was sold out. We found copies. Yeah. Mr. Miracle number one. Like, I remember 3 weeks later finding copies of first print Mr. Miracle number one at Grey Guardian. Yeah. You know, and everyone's like, oh, I'm on third printing already. And it's like, well, hold on. Let me go. Here you go.
Yeah.
Here you go.
It's crazy.
So it is what it is. But, you know, I mean, it doesn't always work out. Sometimes you are hunting like crazy, like your Shield number 9 variant. And, you know, but that's a bit different because it is a legitimately rare book to find.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, until Marvel decides that they're going to sell a massive backload of two variants, like they sold in December, this backload of variant comics dating back as far back as 2 years. Mm. And that Shield number 9 was in the list.
Ooh.
So Marvel does really poorly in the December sales. None of their books are in the top 10, really. Just a few. Again, if you take that system that I got of removing all things, the only thing Marvel had in the top 20 was Star Wars. And I think one other comic other than all their legacy things. And yet they still won number one market share and number one volume shipped because they had thousands of these hard to get variants being sold for cover price, you know, discounted and stuff like this. So is what
they just know all the cheats.
Well,
how to keep their numbers high.
It's creative marketing, right? And people are like, oh, see, the industry's fine. You know, Bleeding Cool just puts out this article. Here's the 50 stores that closed in 2017. Yeah. No, the industry's growing. The industry's growing. It's growing. Yeah, it's growing since 2012. You take any number from 1999 down, the industry is so constricted and decimated. Like, I'm looking at this one. There was some sort of an award for diversity in comics. And it was a Black Panther miniseries. What was it? Black Panther, King of Wakanda.
Yes.
America and Iceman.
It's the GLAAD Awards.
Yeah. So those three titles win this award. And it's like, oh, and all three titles are canceled. Well, America in December sold 7,000 copies. There's 330 million Americans, 30 million Canadians. So we almost have 400 million people as a potential audience. 7,000 bought the book.
So these awards are pretty much as corrupt as all other awards then.
Well, yeah. I mean,
how much did Marvel pay for those awards?
You know how much how much faith I put into things like the Academy Awards where what's his name? Leonardo DiCaprio wins for one of his worst lamest performances ever only because he was due.
Yeah.
So you know, this wasn't a, hey, you got an award for Revenant. No, you got an award. You got the consolation prize. So what's the real point? Like,
but I feel that, like, just to talk about that example, I feel like that happens a lot, though.
Oh, it does.
Actors, they're like, oh, it's a bit of a weak year for good performances. This guy hasn't won yet. We'll just nominate his movie and he'll win.
Oh, yeah, and it's just a big, huge popularity contest because that's how you get that's how you become a member of the Academy. If you get nominated for an award, you immediately from then on become a member of the Academy. So if you get nominated for a director award like Kevin Smith did, from that point on, Kevin Smith is a member of the Academy and can vote on the Directors Guild part. So all these guys are just sitting there with this piece of paper at home going, you know what? Yeah, okay, click, check, okay. Well,
it's funny because for a lot of years, the managers at HMV were able to vote on the Juno Awards.
There you go.
It was something like just that they did. And only it's probably been like 6 or 7 years or more since the last time I saw something about this. But like I remember one time. Like, I got to vote for the Juno Awards because the manager's like, I don't want to do it, you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, cool.
Now, in theory, being in the business,
yes.
you should be able to see what trends, what was popular, and vote on something legitimate. You could turn around and go,
hate Nickelback.
Yeah, I'm going to pick my favorites, not the ones that I know. You know, and that just corrupts the whole system.
It's just kind of like, but like, it's the same thing, like... If you go to a record store or a comic book store or whatever, and like the clerk who's selling you the stuff has like an attitude because of what you're buying.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, you like that? Like, you're like, what does it matter? I'm paying you money for your product. You don't have to like it.
Why are you buying Superman? Everybody knows that Marvel Comics is far superior to DC Comics. Nobody's been reading DC except old people since the 60s. Why are you buying a DC comic? Yeah, I faced that my entire life.
Yeah.
You had a good recommendation? Oh, the new Doctor Strange is awesome. Really? No?
No, I don't think so.
No? The old Doctor Strange wasn't awesome. Sorry. It was just too trippy for me.
Yeah.
You know,
the old Doctor Strange was okay.
It was just too strange.
All right, what you got there, Martin?
Well, some fun stuff did come out this week. Strangers in Paradise number one.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who knows Strangers in Paradise, you need no explanation, but it's the 25th anniversary of the start of the Strangers in Paradise TV comic book. I never read Strangers in Paradise. This and Love and Rockets, all I thought it was a chick comic about, you know, relationships and girls and lesbians and just, I thought it was just girls going to the, I thought it was Luann.
Yeah.
I really did. I thought it was just a relationship.
Nothing is like Luann.
And I just like, this is, you know, and I never picked up a copy. So Terry Moore for the 25th anniversary is doing a new series, continuing on where he was. And on one of our little car excursions, Sam Tweedle's explaining to me what happened in Strangers in Paradise. And it's like, no, there's this secret cabal of call girls that are highly influential in circles of power because of their customer base, and they can actually like work together with each other to get stuff done and manipulate senators and congressmen and get, you know, bills passed and stuff, and spy agencies. Like, they've got these girls working in all sorts of this. Like, it's just this cool spy stuff on top of this relationship stuff. And he was explaining it all, and I kind of got most of it. So then the comic book came out, and I was reading Terry Moore's Motor Girl before this, and I thought it was really good, and the art was really fun. So I picked it up, and with my limited amount of knowledge of Strangers Paradise, I thought this was a great comic, and I'm definitely putting it on my pull list. Hmm. Like, there's this spy stuff. This girl kicks a hole in the wall and grabs her go bag and takes off on her husband, and... You know, somebody steals his SIM card out of his phone, and all of a sudden it's like spies and mafia, and yeah, it's just awesome. It's really good. The only problem, however, is as much like Walking Dead, because nobody's in a superhero costume, I have a slight hard time telling who's who, because
it's black and white.
It's black and white, and there's no, you know, like this girl looks exactly the same as this girl. So for a little bit there, I was a bit confused because the two girls, I thought they were the same person, you know. Sam will just, like, laugh at me because he's been reading the original series, so he knows exactly who everybody is. But that was really fun. Strangers in Paradise. I recommend that.
Hmm.
It was pretty good. Another book that I got that was pretty cool is The Further Adventures of Nick Wilson, Image Comics. So, there's a superhero. The superhero loses his powers suddenly, doesn't tell anybody, and... falls on hard times and stuff like this. And so to make ends meet, he impersonates himself as a celebrity impersonator at birthday parties and stuff. So he puts on the real superhero costume, goes to a kid's party, and the kid barfs all over him and stuff. And he gets paid his, $100 or whatever for this this appearance because he's got no superpowers. So it's, again, you know, it's going to be a little bit of a slice of life type comic, but it's going to be a little bit more interesting because this is the downfall of this superhero who's broke as snot. I mean, either him or Peter Parker, I can't decide who's got less money.
Who did the cover?
No idea.
Because it looks like, oh man, the guy that, oh man. I'm
just... Illustrated by Stefan Sandowski.
Yeah, Sandowski.
Oh wait, cover, artist cover A, Pete Woods. Artist cover B, Ian Churchill. So no. I think that's Pete Woods.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's cover A. So that was a fun book. I know Sam picked up another book called The Ice Cream Man, which yeah. we thought was going to be a goofy, stupid comedy type thing. Apparently, no. It's a horror book.
He sent me a whole bunch of messages last night. Have you heard of The Ice Cream Man?
Yeah.
I put call Worlds Collide and get them to put one aside for you today. And I'm like, well, I'm not a call people kind of guy. I'll just go pick it up if they've got it still when I go down. And he's like, I'll call them for you. All capital letters.
Yeah, because you guys like horror stuff, so it should be fun. So that's what I, you know, other than that, I read Aquaman. It was fantastic. I read Batman. It was great. Superman was another one of those done in one stories that makes you cry. Like they had the one where they visited the Veterans Memorial. This one is a bunch of Make-A-Wish kids that they take to the moon and stuff like this. And, you know, the hospital administrators chasing after them with a clipboard going, forms. What happens if something happens as they take the kids to the moon and to the Justice League satellite and stuff. So that comic's been just banging them off. It's just been great. It's just been fantastic. But that's all I've had a chance to read. I got like this massive stack of unread books at home that I gotta tackle.
I've actually been like, I don't know if you heard my, you've seen my comic posts that I do on Instagram probably. But the thing is that reading a comic a day can still be hard.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So sometimes I'll be like in the morning, I'm just flipping through really fast, like, oh god, I gotta read one. The pressure to read a comic book. Anytime I post a Captain Canuck comic, it's because I don't have time to read something new. I'm reading something I've read 100 times already. So
you know you can skim it quick and remember yeah. it.
But I mean, having only been a Captain Canuck fan for a couple years, not like you, Marty, going back a longer time.
Yeah, but I will be dead honest with you. Because of the volume of stuff I read and being, you know...
He's never read one Captain Canuck comic.
Being old and dumb, right? Like, somebody asked me a question about the new Captain Canuck series somewhere around issue 10 or something like this, and I was like, I just read that last month. What happened? like the Batman annual. Like, I read it, but it's like,
You're on the couch going, I'm dying. Mm. Oh, it's a good comic. That's
so I've maybe read Captain Canuck number one 5-6 times in my life.
Yeah.
You know, and I have never read the entire series. Like I've got 4 copies of the trade paperback in different printings. Like IDW did a few and Chapter House has done one. And you think I've actually sat down and read the whole thing? No. I should. So yeah, if you were to ask me, if you were to, you know, Martin, what happened in issue 4? I'd be like, Catman?
You're thinking about the cover, right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
What was that cover? Yeah. In issue 4, Tom wakes up in the Incan city and...
Yeah, exactly. There's no way I could do that. I have, like, this plethora of Captain Canuck memorabilia everywhere, and I'm just not that encyclopedia guy. I'm not the guy to go up to Richard Cumley and, you know, in issue 6, you have this one panel that has a clock on the wall, and the clock says 5 to 8, but in the next panel, it says 19 to 8. So which is it? Did Tom travel through time? Is there some kind of a trans-dimensional warping of the space-time continuum? You know, I'm not that guy.
Is it different than the trans-dimensional warping in issue 11?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just not that guy. Like, I dug Star Wars, but I will have a hard time telling you who wrote Empire Strikes Back. I think it was Kasdan. I'm not 100% sure. Does he have solo credit? I can't tell you who the director of Empire Strikes Back was, but I list it as one of my favorite movies ever. I'm just...
Everyone knows of George Lucas.
There you go. It's George Lucas.
He wrote and directed everything.
He's the greatest. He stole my childhood. So, yeah, there's a really, really strong chance that you know more about the actual individual issues of Captain Hook than I do.
Okay.
Because I just, I keep saying to myself, I'm going to reread this. I should just sit down and read this. And I never do.
Well, I've only read most of the series, like the original series, once. But I've read like issue one 5 or 6 times because I start it. I'm like, I'm going to read it through again and read issue one and then get distracted. But I'm on to issue 3 so far.
And
again,
as much as we love Captain Canuck, I think it's the concept of Captain Canuck we like because those first few issues, it's a bit of a.
It is a bit, but. I think of it the same way I think about like watching classic Doctor Who. It's like, you know what? I like the idea so much that I can watch classic Doctor Who stories that might like literally put me to sleep.
Yeah.
But I'm still like, no, shut up if you ever put it down. Yeah. Like, shut up. It's the greatest thing in the history of the world.
Like every, it's like Twin Peaks, right? Even the most avid Twin Peaks fan will say, there's some issues, so there's some episodes that are not good. Like, I once saw a chart, and it was like red, blue, and red, green, and yellow, you know, and green were the great ones, red were the no good ones, and yellow were the kind of ones that you could muddle through, and it was Christmas. There was colors all over it.
Yeah, you know? I saw that chart, too. I thought it was
hilarious.
There
was colors all over it. So, yeah, no, I mean, if we need to expound on Captain Canuck, like the art was something completely new because they were painting on acetate, like the colors on top of acetate on top of the pencils and stuff. So it just doesn't look like anything else that came out in the 75. It's all really revolutionary and neat and stuff. But
also like the single, I've read most of it in the Chapter House trade. But the single issues, if I actually pull them out and read them, like there's lots of cool stuff in the issues too.
Oh yeah.
Like just looking through like little bits about other Canadian superheroes and stuff. Like I wish they had reprinted some of that stuff too.
Oh yeah.
Because I'm too lazy to pull my singles out.
It's just like when you start rereading a Bronze comic. Yeah. You've got that 20 page story or that 22 page story, but you also got the ad for the submarine that you could buy and put in the back of your house. And you had the sea monkeys and you opened up the middle panel and it showed you all the Saturday morning cartoons that were on CBS that Saturday. And like, there's just so much more to the comic than just the story that gets reprinted in all the big fancy deluxe editions. Like Captain Canuck's the same thing. He had side features and, like you said, editorials and stuff, and lots of fun stuff.
And there was John and the Beyond backups.
Anyways, I bought something for you, Dan.
Yes.
There is a guy on Amazon, and what he's doing is he's taking public domain comics and publishing them now. Whether he actually has the rights to this stuff, gosh only knows. Mm-hmm. Like, he redid some Dell superhero stuff, and we're kind of questioning what it is and stuff. So he's got this one comic called Canuck Comics, public domain Canadian comics from Mini Comics Press, 100 big pages. And basically what it is just black and white scans and reprints of a whole bunch of stories from Canadian whites. So you got Ace Barton. There's an Ace Barton story in here. I don't know who Ace Barton is. The Crusaders. I don't know who the Crusaders are. It's the same thing like Captain Canuck and Canadian Whites. I think the idea of a Canadian White is cool, but I've never actually read one. Clue
like,
Catchers.
You've Captain read Nelvana, right? You've read Johnny Canuck. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I can say like Nelvana is actually, I really enjoy reading those old ones. I have the hardcover trade or the hardcover whatever, and I'm about halfway through because I don't want to finish it, because anytime I finish something like that, I'm like, no, it's over. But
they've been sitting in my to read pile for a few years.
For a few years.
For a few years. I did crack open I did crack open Brock Windsor on one holiday. I bought the soft cover and I got about halfway through that, but I still haven't finished that either.
I've read like the first 2 or 3 comics in that one, but it kind of just bugs me because I want the like hardcover that fits nicely with the Johnny Canuck and the Nelvana.
Well, one of them came out a different size than the other two.
Yeah,
and I feel like it's the Brock Windsor that's a different size, so it doesn't actually fit in with Nelvana.
Well, we need to fix that Come on.
I don't know. When you spell comics K-O-M-I-X, you kind of lose a bit of credibility with me.
Yeah. But, but it'll be a fun magic. It'll be a fun read, right? Because it's just a
Captain source. Wonder.
But yeah, he had a whole bunch of the. I don't know if you remember Dell Comics experimented with the monsters like Dracula and Wolfman and Frankenstein being superheroes. So he reprinted those, and the one is done really nice in grayscale, so you kind of get like it's not just black and white. The other one is so faded. It's like, what did you do? Run out of toner in your printer when you printed this? Or you need to crank the contrast on this. But it didn't print particularly well.
Yeah.
The other thing that I have for you, Dan, that I've been holding on to for God only knows how long, is Alien Toilet Monsters number one.
I haven't read mine yet.
We picked that up at Gotham.
Yeah.
Gotham Central.
Well, this one will be on my comic a day sometime there over the next week.
I really dug it, but it's a bit, like, it's deeper than you think it is. I mean, here you are, you're going to read a comic book called Alien Toilet Monsters. And then all of a sudden, it's this trans-dimensional story, horror sci-fi about this guy in this diner, and then there's these creatures that if they eat other creatures, they absorb their DNA and they become, you know, mutants of some kind. So if a fox eats a squirrel, all of a sudden, it's a foxerel. And if that fox earl eats a rabbit, it's a fox earl abbot, you know? And then that creature escapes to this dimension and all sorts of chaos. And this guy's ex-wife from the other dimension, because she died in his dimension, comes and visits him once in a while, even though she's married to somebody else. And that person is jealous that she comes and visits. And it's just trippy. It's trippy.
Is that just issue one?
Yeah.
Holy jumps.
It's fun. Like, it's neat. It's cool.
I mean, if one of the top comics of 2017 could be a shirtless bear hunter or fighter.
Yeah, but shirtless bear fighter was brilliant.
Then the comic about toilet monsters is okay.
Somehow one of the comic stores dropped the ball, and I never got the final issue of that.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh. So. We got to find it for you. Bear punch. That's it. That was hilarious. Oh my gosh. I have not laughed out loud at a comic book since Bwahaha Justice League. And that one just had me howling. I was just guffawing. Oh man, that was a good comic. The trade paperback should be out fairly soon for that.
Yeah. I'll just go look for the issue 5, though.
Yeah, I'm sure we can find it for us. Now that I know that you don't have it, I'll keep my eyes peeled.
To be fair, I haven't actually looked. Like, I haven't looked anywhere. Mm-hmm. I was flipping through my one long box of, like, all my Image and whatever stuff. And I was like, wait, I'm missing that issue because I must have been out by now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's out.
But, yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah. I like that series.
You got anything to talk about there, Chris? You got a couple things in front of you.
No, that's what Martin gave me. My Orc number four. Finally, I can read it. And my Star Trek Mega Bloks.
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea Mattel bought Mega Bloks.
Well,
Mattel Canada. Did Mattel proper buy them?
I don't know. They just won't stay together. But anyway. Runaways.
Haven't watched a single episode. I have them all on the PVR. Haven't watched them.
I love it.
There you go.
Every episode.
So I'm going to have to tune in. Now, mind you read the comic, though, right?
But it's been so long.
Fair enough.
Like, I remember the basis of comic, the kids and the parents and stuff, and pride and all that, but I think it's great.
I tuned into Arrow for the first time in a bit, and I'm like,
they're still
so
mushy
lost.
And yeah,
I don't know if I skipped the last episode before the break, or I was on my phone more than I was watching it, or what the case may be, or I got lucky and I left it running on the couch. I just don't remember.
Yeah.
How we got to where it is. Even with the recap at the beginning of the show, I'm like, oh, I'm so lost.
It's just time to get rid of the island. We've been to the island too much. In the flashbacks. In the current.
In this episode, there was not a single flashback.
That's good, because they should be done. Because they killed off the sister, which very much disappointed me.
Which
on
sister?
The island. His sister.
Which one?
Speedy.
Yeah, she's back.
Oh, geez.
She's the chief of staff in the mayor's office.
She was dead last time.
I don't know. That's what I mean. I'm watching this going, but she was dead.
But the episode after it, she was still dead, and they were mourning her.
She was dead, and it's like, how, like, she walks in, and Quentin gives her, She's like, oh, Quentin, I guess you need an assistant now that Renee is testifying against Oliver that he's actually the Green Arrow. I'm like, what?
And he didn't say, aren't you dead?
And he's like, no, I already hired a replacement, but I am looking for a chief of staff. And she got all, oh, I love you. And
stuff. Are you sure I'm like a season behind?
I don't know. I am so lost.
I think you're a season behind.
So lost. She mentioned something about a coma. So maybe she wasn't dead. It was just a coma. I think
you're a season behind.
I don't know.
No, she did work in the mayor's office.
Picked it up.
Well, that's not 100% accurate.
What's her name? Renee, like Wild Dog, Black Canary, and Mr. Terrific are forming their own team. Was that last season or is that this season?
No, that doesn't.
They form their own team. There's a legion of bad guys being led by the guy from Lost.
Oh, yeah.
And the vigilante and the siren or whatever.
Does Mad Dog have a costume?
Mad Dog has a costume with armor.
I'll have to go back and watch it.
I am so lost.
She was dead.
Diggle's got something wrong with his hand and his hand trembles. So Mr. Terrific's putting the little magic chip that makes Felicity walk. He's putting it in his hand so that his hand doesn't tremble. Like, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I'm so lost. I should go read a Captain Canuck comic instead.
Yeah. Honestly, I haven't. So everything's back now. Flash is back, and
I guess
I haven't watched.
I watched Supergirl with the Legion, and I'm like,
no, I haven't watched it yet. Okay, so I gotta watch that.
Oh my gosh!
Yay or nay? Maybe not decided yet.
Brainiac 5 looks like they glued the little sensors on his forehead and his hair. They're all dressed in black, and I'm just like, yeah. And Rain is running around, and nobody can tell that Rain is the best friend of Lena Luthor and stuff. And it's like, how can you people not realize Clark Kent is Superman? Like, how do you not, like...
I gotta watch. I'll have to watch Supergirl then.
So that came out last week, I think. I don't know. Okay. But yeah, I got a big, huge stack of Runaways unwatched. I got 4 or 5 episodes of Gifted unwatched. I'm watching Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as they're in the future and the Earth has been exploded and there's like dead killer scorpions on the planet. I'm
totally
so lost, Dan.
Yeah.
So lost.
I'm more lost because I haven't watched any of those shows.
I you know what? I would make Runaways a priority.
You know what I did do, though, is I finally pulled Gotham off the... PVR. I'm not recording Gotham anymore. I'm 7 episodes behind, and I watched like half of one, and I was just like, oh God. Riddler's in a block of ice in a bar, then he's not. Now he's in a block of ice at the bar again. I was just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, Bruce Wayne's running around in a Daredevil costume. I'm like, I'm done. So yeah, I finally gave up on that show.
I was going to say, it's definitely not your father's Batman, but it's not our Batman.
No. Now, I did hear some people were saying the new Black Lightning, because the new Black Lightning series came out in the States this week, that the first episode, a lot of people are saying it's the best DC comic book TV show.
I opened up my phone, and it was like post after post after post after post of how amazing this show was.
Now, it's supposed to come out on Netflix next week or the week after, 26th, I think, or something, in Canada. So you'll be able to watch it on Netflix in Canada. So I tuned in my Netflix to watch
that. But it's CW?
It's a CW show, but in the States it's being shown on the streaming CW service. Unless a CW affiliate paid extra money, then... Because I think it's on Pix 11, whatever channel that is.
Because Supergirl is CW.
Everything's CW, yeah.
Now?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's part of the Arrowverse, as they call it?
Yeah, apparently he's part of the Arrow. Now, whether... is he going to be, or is he going to be like Supergirl, slightly off in a parallel planet? Like, I don't know. So lost.
Yeah.
I'm so confused. I'm so old and decrepit. I don't know. Let's build Lego.
I did.
Let's build Star Trek Lego instead.
I did try to get back into Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, yeah, I watched that.
And there was a couple, no more Klingon. And all of a sudden, the whole episode. I'm like, okay, put everything down and stare at the TV and watch it. I'm going to kill you.
We watched this TV show called Narcos. And it's all about Pablo Escobar and stuff like this. And 3/4 of it's in Spanish, 1/4 of it's in English, and it's all subtitled. And like, there's No, there's no surfing Facebook. There's No, you're like sitting there staring at the TV the whole time, studying.
Just so the listeners
not even
know.
Watching the movie. You're just watching the subtitles.
Yeah, you're just studying.
It's
you're
not
just
like I don't know. It's not like I don't like reading subtitles. I'm fine with subtitles. I just multitask. But I can't multitask when the Klingons are talking Klingons. So
no,
I have to watch.
can you actually multitask? Because if I am trying to have a Facebook conversation or something while a TV show's on, at the end, I'm like, yeah, that was an hour that I spent on Facebook.
Yeah. I don't remember what happened. I don't know.
And then I get punched for not paying attention.
There you go.
We'll have to watch it again.
I don't know.
No.
I just don't know. I don't know. I'm so confused and lost.
Yeah.
My fancy dancy comic book boxes came in. I was going to bring one in to show you guys, but they're all full. So BCW comes out with these short boxes that are manufactured more like a milk crate than they are cardboard. So injected molded plastic and stuff. Takes a little bit of finessing and finagling to get it together because it all kind of clips together and locks in place. And so you got to watch the YouTube video. And so by the time I got my 10th box put together, I got pretty good at it. But the first one took a little while. But they're cool. They're neat. Mm-hmm. The handles are pretty weird though, so you can only carry it by your fingertips. So there's no way you're going to carry one of these boxes with one hand. So it's a little bit delicate, but they all stack and interlock, and index cards fit in the front here, so you can label what's in them and stuff. And they're pretty sharp. I just need 60 more, and I know there's no way I'm gonna. There's no way I'm buying 60 of them.
$15 a pop or
$20 Canadian at GNU. Is what
they're 20 Canadian? Okay.
Yeah, because Dave Wildstar ordered some through GNU, and apparently they showed up today when I was at GNU yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So she has stock, and she's charging $20 Canadian a piece.
Yeah, that's...
You know, well, you think those printed boxes are $14.99 mm-hmm. a piece. Yeah. I'd rather have one of these plastic ones.
Did GNU have any printed boxes in the old $5 slot there?
No. No, she had three long boxes, no short boxes. Because you were saying you need chore boxes, so I kept checking.
Ah, okay. But yeah, I thought you just ignored that message.
Nope. So I'm assuming that maybe she got a supply in with these. Because CBA got Silver Age Mylars, regular comic Mylars, so Mylars are around.
Yeah.
I'll just have to go bug Sam at Grey Guardian and see if my Mylite Pluses showed up. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, they're really sturdy and cool. And if I could, I'd have all my collection in them. But I mean, $5 for a cardboard box, $20 for one of these, and I've been buying cardboard boxes for 20 years, so there's a little bit of an inventory there that maybe 20 years from now I'll have my last box converted. But
So let me see, you just filled up a bunch of these boxes. That means you have some extra short boxes.
I have a ton. No word of a lie, I have a ton of printed ones.
Oh,
a lot of X-Men ones. I got two of the comic book ones with the Biff Bang Pow. And then I have, I don't know, four X-Men blues and one gold, or two golds and three blues. And then I have, I still have a bunch of long boxes I'm converting to short boxes. So I have two white ones that I want, but the color ones, I wasn't sure what to do with it. Because you know my OCD. Mm-hmm. I'm just not going to be able to have a wall of 60 boxes and have seven of them a different color. It's just not going to happen. Like, I was already sitting there sleepless one night going, maybe I can put all my X-Men comics in it. You know, I'll put the X-Men comics in the X-Men boxes, and then I'll take the colored ones to the barn and bring my two white ones from the barn back so I can put the, you know, just OCD. You will not be surprised that I bought a multi-pack of index cards at the dollar store. Every single index card and all of my plastic ones are the same color.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
I didn't change colors and stuff. They're all the blue ones.
500 pack of multicolors.
And I just used the 10 blue ones and threw the rest out. And I'm going to the dollar store to get some index cards. What did you do with the other 50? They're not blue. They're not blue. I need blue. Yeah, heaven forbid these boxes come in colors. You know, here's a blue plastic one and red plastic one. I'll be just like...
Can we jump back to Star Trek for a second again?
Sure. Do we got time?
We got a couple minutes.
When exactly does this show take place?
What?
When does Discovery take place for Star Trek? Time-wise.
If I'm not mistaken, it's just ever before Kirk and Spock in the what do they call it, the Kelvin universe, the TV, the movie version of Star Trek with Chris Pine and stuff.
Oh, so this is the reset.
I think it's the reset universe.
Because where the, because nobody's taught. I mean, this technology that they have, where they flip the ship and what the heck.
Like, yeah, it's insane. That's a lot of people's main complaint about the series is it seems like it's a big, huge reboot. It's like a Battlestar Galactica reboot.
Yeah,
it's not really in canon.
You can't force it in anywhere, really, like to fit with any of the other.
You could if you kind of consider that maybe this flip drive technology ends up eventually being too dangerous.
And outlawed,
and they just don't mention it anymore because you just like triangular bayonets. You could buy in World War One. Used these triangular bayonets, and because it was hard to stitch the triangle wound closed, the Geneva Convention outlawed triangular bayonets. So, like, yeah, exactly. 70 years later, I say triangular bayonets. You guys are like, what? So maybe 1,000 years later in Star Trek, somebody goes, "Hey, flip drive!" And you're like, "What? Spore drive? What?"
It's pretty cool.
Hawknar.
Obviously, Buddy's going a little cuckoo, but...
Are you caught up on the latest episode?
Almost. Buddy's, okay. Just Buddy's almost. Going okay. Cuckoo. No. Buddy's going cuckoo, that's all
he's,
I know.
He's not going cuckoo.
What do you think of Mudd?
Mudd's pretty cool.
He was totally different than the Mudd that we know from Star Trek.
Yeah, but totally, that was, that's like comparing Batman 66 to Michael Keaton Batman to Christian Bale Batman. Like,
and wasn't it the... What's his face from... The actor...
Yeah, he's from The Office.
Rain, right?
Rain Wilson.
Yeah, yeah. It was, it was cool. It was like, wow, this is not Mudd, but anyways.
He's not some the new sensibility.
Big chubby scam artist, right?
Like, yeah. It's just like Chris Pine isn't William Shatner, but they're both Kirk.
Yeah, well, kind of.
Yeah. Anyways.
Anyways, that's about all the time that we've got week. So
yeah, I barely coughed too.
Yeah,
that's not true. We all coughed a lot.
Hold on. Who wants to use this microphone next?
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?